fundamental steps that the science of NEC, neuroassociative conditioning, puts forth. I created NEC as a way to use any technology for change. Anything you've ever learned, you'll be able to apply within this system. So what NEC really provides is a specific syntax. That is an order and sequence of ways of using anything you've learned to create long-term, effective, and constant change. And by the way, the word syntax sometimes hooks people. Syntax can be used in the form of language. If I say to you, the dog bit Johnny, or Johnny bit the dog, I use the same exact tool, same words, but I change the order and sequence, or the syntax, and it's a very different experience, especially if you're Johnny. Now, to make syntax most effective, there are two shifts in beliefs that you may have to make within yourself. The first belief we must have if we're going to create change quickly is that we can change right now. Now, there is a challenge, and that is our cultural programming teaches us that changing significant problems quickly, that's impossible. That to change quickly means we never even have the problem at all. But in fact, it's not change itself that takes time. Remember, it's getting ready to change that takes time. The change itself occurs in an instant. Why not make that instant right now? See, it's up to you and I to get ourselves ready to change, and we can do it immediately. We don't have to wait. And the second belief that you and I must have if we're going to really create long-term change is that we're responsible for our own change, not anyone else. We've got to see ourselves as the source and the agent of change. If we don't, we'll always be looking for someone else to make the change for us, and we'll always have someone else to blame when it doesn't work out. Now, with these two beliefs in mind, I'm now going to give you the six master steps to change that are the basis of NEC, neuroassociative conditioning. These six steps will show you how to create a direct highway out of pain and into pleasure with no disempowering detours. I challenge you to choose something you really want to change in your life right now, so that as we go through these steps, you can take action and follow through with each of the steps. So you can really produce actions and results because you've listened to them. So let's begin. Here are the six master steps of NEC. Step one is simply this. Decide, what do you really want and what's preventing you from having it now? See, when I do private counseling with people, I often ask people what they really want out of their life. Or they're telling me a problem, I ask them what they want instead. And an amazing number of these people will spend 15 minutes telling me what they don't want. See, remember, you get whatever you focus on in life. If you keep focusing on what you don't want, you'll just get more of it. Change that focus. Decide what you do want. The more specific you can be about it, the more clarity you'll have and the more power you'll command to achieve what you want more rapidly. At the same time, we need to learn what's preventing us from having what we do want. These are the disempowering beliefs reviewed a few minutes ago. And again, I keep saying it again and again because I don't want you to forget it. Invariably, what's preventing us from making the changes is that we link more pain to making the change than staying where we are. If you're really going to change, then you've got to change these associations. You've got to knock the supports out from under these disempowering beliefs and use that list of doubt-creating questions I just gave you to be able to weaken them. Let's go to step two. Step two always is get leverage. Get leverage on yourself. Get yourself to associate massive pain to not changing now and massive pleasure with the experience of changing right now. See, change is not a question of capability. It's a question of motivation. If someone put a gun to your head and said, you better get out of that depressed state and start feeling happy now, I'll bet you could find a way to change your emotional state for the moment, couldn't you? But the problem for most of us, most of the time, is that change doesn't feel like it's a must. It feels like something we should do, something that we ought to do, we'd like to do someday, not something we absolutely must do right now without waiting another second. And that's the problem. See, the only way we're going to make a change now is if we create a sense of urgency that's so intense that we're compelled to follow through right now, in this moment. If we want to create change, then we have to realize that it's not a question of whether we can do it, it's a question of whether we will do it. See, whether we will do it comes down to a matter of motivation. Down once again to those twin pillars that shape our lives, pain and pleasure. To get true leverage, ask yourself pain-inducing questions. Questions like, what will this cost me if I don't change? What will I miss out in my life if I don't make this shift now? What's it already costing me mentally, emotionally, physically, and financially, and spiritually in my life? See, the key here is make the pain of not changing so real, so intense, that you can't put off taking action any longer. Then, start using pleasure-associating questions to help you link those positive feelings to the idea of changing so you really want it. Ask questions like, if I do change, how will that make me feel about myself? What kind of momentum could I create if I change this in my life right now? What other things could I accomplish if I really made this change today? How will my family and friends feel? How much happier will I be? See, the key is to get lots of reasons, or better yet, strong enough reasons, to change what you're doing right now immediately, not someday in the future. If you're not driven to make the change now, then you don't have enough leverage. It's that simple. And by the way, I hope right now as you're listening to me, you're doing this with a change you want to make. You can stop this tape at each step if you'd like. Have you decided what you really want to change? What do you really want in your life? Have you figured out what's been preventing you? And have you made it painful enough you must change and pleasurable enough that you must change because you want to? If so, then let's move on to the next step. Because now what you've done so far is you've linked pain in your nervous system to not changing and pleasure to making the change. So now you're ready for the third step. Step three is interrupt the limiting pattern. See, in order to get new results in our lives, it's not enough to just know what we want and get leverage on ourselves. You see, we can be highly motivated to change, but if we keep doing the same things, running the same inappropriate, disempowering patterns, our lives are not going to change, and all we're going to experience is more pain, more frustration. One of the best ways to interrupt your own pattern, or somebody else's for that matter, is to do something that a person doesn't expect. Things that are radically different than they've experienced before, or do this to yourself. For example, when I did private therapy with people, people would come in to see me and they'd sit down in my office and they'd start to say, my problem is, and then they'd start to burst into tears out of control. I would suddenly stand up and shout, excuse me, and I would just jolt them. And I'd follow up with, we haven't started yet. Usually they responded with disbelief and they'd say, oh, I'm so sorry. And they'd immediately regain control, which proved that they already knew how to change the way they feel. Think of some of the ways that you can interrupt your own patterns. Do you need to do something differently? Some weird action? Would a word, some weird new word, break your pattern? Would a change of scenery, a silly laugh, a disgusting noise? Take a moment and think up some of the most enjoyable and disruptive ways you can interrupt your limiting and destructive patterns. Those patterns of being frustrated or worried or overwhelmed, for example. See, next time you start to feel depressed, jump up, look at the sky, and yell in your most idiotic tone of voice, hallelujah, my feet don't stink today. See, a stupid, silly move like this will definitely shift your attention, change your state, and it'll definitely change the states of anyone around you. They'll realize that you're no longer depressed, you're just crazy. Another way to break patterns is by scrambling the sensations that we link to our memories. For example, if your boss yells at you and you mentally rerun the experience the rest of the day, picturing him or her yelling at you over and over again, then you're going to feel progressively worse. So why let the experience continue to affect you? Try this. See that same situation in your mind that was bothering you so much. Picture it as if it was a movie. Don't feel upset about it. Just watch it one time, seeing everything that happened. Then take that movie and turn it into a cartoon. Sit up in your chair with a big silly grin on your face, breathe deeply, and run the image backwards as fast as you can so that everything happens in reverse. If the scene is your boss yelling, watch him swallow his words, for example. Then run through the cartoon forward again in fast motion. Change the colors of the images so everybody's face is rainbow-colored. Grow big Mickey Mouse ears on your boss's head and a big long Pinocchio nose. Do this at least a dozen times back and forth, sideways, scrambling the image in your mind. Create some goofy music to go along with it. The speed of this whole process is also real important. You want to create impact on yourself. A lot of crazy, intense humor that'll break your pattern of negative, disempowering emotions. Why don't you stop right now and try this? Again, close your eyes, see something that's bothering you, run it backwards as fast as you can. Change the images, change the colors, change the sounds. Now, if you do this back and forth several dozen times, or at least a dozen times, you'll discover that if you've done it effectively, you've easily broken the pattern so that now when you try and think of that situation, it's virtually impossible to get back those negative feelings. It's the equivalent of taking a record and taking a needle and scratching across it back and forth, back and forth. It'll never play the same way again. Now, this technique works with things that have been bothering you for years. It sounds so ridiculous, but test it and you'll see it does, in fact, produce results. It's often a much more effective approach than trying to analyze the whys and the wherefores of a situation. Because after all, that doesn't change the sensations that you link about something in your body. The reason the scrambling technique works is that all of our feelings are based on the images that we focus on in our minds and the sensations we link to those images and sounds. As we change the images, we change how we feel. Conditioning this again and again makes it increasingly difficult to get back into that old pattern. Now, once you've broken that pattern that's been holding you back, you'll have the open space for the next step. Step four, create a new empowering alternative. This fourth step is absolutely critical to establishing a long-term change, not a short-term change. In fact, the failure by most people to find an alternative way of getting out of pain and into the feelings of pleasure is probably the major reason why most people's changes are only temporary. Many people get to the point where they have to change, where change is a must, because they link so much pain to the old pattern, they link so much pleasure to the idea of changing. They even interrupt their old pattern. But after that, they have nothing to replace the old pattern. Remember, all of your neurological patterns are designed to help you to get out of pain and into pleasure. So once you quit smoking, for example, you need to come up with a new way, preferably a lot of new ways, to relax or to manage your stress or to provide whatever benefits you used to get when you smoked. See, if your old behavior was excessive worry, what new behavior can you replace it with? How about massive action and a plan you have for meeting your ultimate goals? Or maybe you can replace depression with a focus on how to help others who are in need. And this may help you. If you're not sure how to get yourself out of pain and to feel pleasure as the replacement for your old smoking, drinking, worrying, or whatever undesirable emotion or behavior was, you can find the answer by modeling people who've turned things around for themselves. Find people who've made lasting changes. I guarantee you'll find out that they had alternatives to replace their old behavior. These first four steps create real change. But for how long? What if you stop smoking for a year or even two, but then you find yourself taking up cigarettes again? What if you lose 40, 80, or 100 pounds, but then gain it all back again? To prevent backsliding, to be sure that change is lasting change, you need to take the next step in neuroassociative conditioning. Step five, condition the new pattern until it's consistent. See, conditioning is the way to make sure that a change you create lasts long term. The simplest way to condition something is just to rehearse it. Imagine yourself doing your new empowering behavior repeatedly until you can clearly see that it will get you out of pain and into pleasure quickly and until it feels good to you. This is critical, because if you don't do this, you'll probably go back to your old pattern. You've got to rehearse your new alternative again and again with tremendous emotional intensity. Your brain will then literally carve out a new pathway, and with conditioned repetition, that pathway will become a highway to this new way of achieving results. You and I can't overestimate the power of conditioning. I read recently that Larry Bird was doing a soft drink commercial in which he was supposed to miss a jump shot, and he made 9 baskets in a row before he could get himself to miss. That's how strongly he's conditioned himself over the years. When the ball hits his hands, he automatically goes through a pattern that's designed to put it through the hoop. And here's a critical distinction. Don't just condition yourself initially. Set yourself up with a schedule to reinforce your new behavior. What can you give yourself, for example, for succeeding? Don't wait until you've gone a month or a year without smoking. When you've gone a day, give yourself a reward. Link pleasure to this new behavior so it stays reinforced and it becomes consistent. Don't wait until you've lost 80 pounds. Don't even wait until you've lost a pound. The minute you push the plate away with food still on it, give yourself a pat on the back. Do something that'll make yourself feel good for this action. See, the key here is to set up a series of short-term goals or milestones, and as you reach each one, immediately reward yourself. Don't wait. Make these rewards immediate. It's very important to link the sensations of pleasure with a pattern that you want and that's occurring currently. Remember that you're not making an intellectual connection. You're making an emotional one, a neurological one. You want to give your brain new associations on a very basic instinctual level. You want your nervous system to link great pleasure to this new change. Once you've accomplished these five steps, you've created a new pattern. The final step is to make sure it works. Step six, test the new pattern for ecology and effectiveness. Your new pattern, this new approach to creating change, will need to fit into a variety of environments. The question you got to start to ask yourself is, does it really work in your business relationships? If you make this change, will that negatively affect your business or will it continue to be strong? How does it affect your personal life? Does it really accomplish what you wanted originally when you were looking to make the change? Remember that as destructive as they may have been, your old behaviors were providing you with some sort of positive impact. Otherwise, you wouldn't have been doing them. You see, your new behavior has to preserve those benefits and maybe even improve on them. Maybe the benefit was the ability to get pleasure, or the ability to produce a result, or the ability to communicate your needs, or to know that people really cared about you. And now you need to make certain your new pattern achieves these same goals, but does so in a more empowering way than crying or feeling sorry for yourself or being depressed, for example. So first, make sure that your new behavior fits into your core beliefs and values. Make sure it's in alignment with who you believe you are. Second, test to make sure these new strategies are firmly installed and working in concert. Run what I call an ecology check on your pattern. You can do it with five simple questions. One, make certain that pain is fully associated with the old pattern. Ask yourself, when I think of the old behavior I used to do or the old feelings I used to indulge in, do I picture and feel things that are painful now instead of pleasurable? Do I see that as something that's unacceptable? If so, you're on the right first track. Two, notice and make certain that you've linked pleasure to the new pattern. Ask yourself, when I think about my new behavior or these new feelings that I focus on, do I picture and feel things that are pleasurable to me now instead of painful? Then step three of your ecology checks, make sure that you have aligned the new pattern with your values, beliefs, and rules. Ask yourself, is this new behavior or this new feeling that I'm going to consistently use, is it consistent with my values? Is it consistent with my beliefs about how I need to be as a person? Checkpoint four, make sure the benefits of the old pattern have been maintained. Again, ask yourself, will this new behavior or this new feeling that I'm using still allow me to get the original benefits, the original pleasure that I got from my old pattern? And finally, checkpoint five, make sure that the change will be long-term and that your conditioning has been effective. Imagine the thing that would have triggered you to adopt the old pattern, to feel bad, to overreact, or to smoke or drink or whatever. And notice now, do you feel certain that you'll use the new pattern instead of the old one? If you do, your ecology check is complete, and you can be certain the pattern will support you from now on.
You've now learned techniques for making decisions that will shape your life, for taking control of the belief structure that determines how you feel and act, and for creating real and lasting change. Now, Anthony Robbins will take you on the final leg of this journey, the creation of your future, your magnificent obsession.
Nothing happens unless first a dream. Carl Sandburg. We are what and where we are because we have first imagined it. Donald Curtis. There is nothing like a dream to create the future. Utopia today, flesh and blood tomorrow. Victor Hugo.
Are you ready now to have some fun? Are you willing to be like a kid again and let your imagination run wild? Are you committed to grabbing hold of your life and squeezing from it all the power, passion, and juice you know can be yours? Many people in life know what they should do, but they never do it. The reason is that they're lacking the drive that only a compelling future can provide. This is your opportunity now to let go and dream at the highest level, to brainstorm something that will really push your life to the next level. What we're going to do now is we're going to help you to create the energy and momentum that causes you to want to take action consistently. Often people tell me, well, my problem is that I really don't have any goals. This belief demonstrates their lack of understanding of how goals really work. The human mind is always pursuing something, if nothing more than the ability to reduce or eliminate pain or avoid anything that would lead to it. Our brains also love to guide us in pursuing anything that can lead to pleasure. So we all have goals. The problem, as I've said before in this program, is that we're unconscious in the use of our resources. Most people's goals are to, quote, pay the lousy bills, or to get by, or to survive, or get out of debt, or make it through the day, make the relationship a little better, get a better job. In short, they're caught up in the trap of making a living rather than designing a life. Remember that our goals affect us, whatever they are. If we don't consciously plant the seeds of what we want in the gardens of our minds, we'll end up with weeds. If we want to discover the unlimited possibilities within us, we must find a goal big enough and grand enough to challenge us to push beyond our limits and discover our true potential. Remember that your current conditions do not reflect your ultimate potential, but rather the size and the quality of the goals upon which you're currently focusing. We all must discover or create a magnificent obsession. You might be thinking right now, well, this is all sounds so inspirational, but surely setting a goal doesn't make it happen. You know what? I couldn't agree with you more. All goal setting must immediately be followed by the development of a plan and with massive and consistent action towards its fulfillment. You already have this power to act. If you haven't been able to summon it, at least up until now, it's merely because you failed to set goals that inspire you. What's holding you back? Do you have a list of clearly defined goals for the results that you will absolutely produce in your life, mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, and financially? If not, what stopped you? What has stopped some people is the unconscious fear of disappointment. Is that true for you? See, a lot of people have set goals in the past and they failed to achieve them, so they stop setting goals to avoid the pain. Many people give up too soon on their goals because they're not getting the immediate positive feedback they think they need. One of the consistent skills I've seen in champions, people who really achieve their highest desires, is this unbelievable level of persistence. They'll change their approach as many times as necessary, but they won't abandon their ultimate vision. What we're going to do now is take the first step in turning the invisible into the visible, making your dreams a reality. By the time we're finished, you'll have created for yourself an anticipation so great, a future so compelling, that you can't help but take the first steps today. We'll be covering four areas. One, personal development goals. Two, our career, business, and economic goals. Three, our adventure goals. I like to call some of these our toy goals. And four, our contribution goals. For each of these areas, you'll be doing brainstorming for a set period of time where you'll be writing down everything you can think of. Remember to keep the ideas flowing, keep your pen moving, and don't censor yourself. Let everything, every fantasy come out. Constantly ask yourself, what would I want for my life if I knew I could have it any way I wanted it? What would I go for if I knew I could not fail? And then don't worry about how you're going to accomplish these goals. Do this without questioning or doubting your capabilities. You first have to get the inspiration out, then you find out how to make it work. Finally, don't waste any time getting overly specific. You don't need to put down, I want a split-level house on Nob Hill in San Francisco with all-white contemporary furniture and a Victorian rose garden. Just write something down like Dream House, Big Garden, SF. You can fill in the details later. Okay, right now, get some paper and put yourself in a state of mind of absolute faith and total expectation. The expectation that you can create anything you want. Again, imagine you're a kid and it's Christmas Eve. The whole world, anything you can imagine, is yours for the asking. Be a kid again. Give yourself that freedom to explore the possibilities of life without limits. Start with your personal goals. Write down everything you'd like to achieve in your life that relates to your own personal growth. Things that you'd like to learn, limitations you want to overcome, ways you'd like to improve your body, your spirituality, your relationship goals. These can be short-term or long-term, things you want to do this week or 20 years from now. Write these down for a minimum of 5 minutes and don't stop writing at any time. Stop the tape right now and do this. Please don't just listen. Your life will not change by listening. Your life changes by action. That's the essence of personal power. Take the time now and I'll be here when you turn the tape back on. Welcome back. Now that you've done this for at least 5 minutes, take another minute right now and go back and give yourself a timeline for each and every goal. Now again, don't even think about how you're going to do it or how you're going to achieve or create the goal. Just write down when you want to achieve it by or within. Remember, goals are dreams with a deadline. The simple act of deciding when you'll achieve a goal by sets in motion conscious and even unconscious forces to make your goals a reality. So if you're committed to accomplishing a goal within 1 year or less, just write a 1 next to it. If you want to get it done within 3 years, put a 3. If it's 5 years, a 5, 10, a 10, or within 20 years, write a 20. Take a moment and do this now. Finally, choose your single most important 1 year goal in this category, a goal that would give you tremendous excitement if you were to accomplish it in this year. Pick something that will inspire you, get you up early and keep you up late, and give your life more juice. Something will make you feel like if you accomplished this goal in this year, your life was well invested. Take 2 minutes now to write a paragraph about why you're absolutely committed to achieving this goal within 1 year. Why is this compelling to you? What will you gain by achieving it? What will you miss out on if you don't achieve it? And make sure you notice that these reasons are strong enough to make you actually follow through consistently. If not, either come up with a better goal or some better reasons. Take the time to do this now. Now that you've finished this three-stage action on your personal development goals, let's go on to the next category, your career, your business, and economic goals. On a new sheet of paper, spend at least 5 minutes writing nonstop about all the things you want to achieve in these areas. How much money do you want to make in a year or in your lifetime? What career goals do you have? What are your investment goals? What are your money management goals? How much do you want to be able to spend on travel and adventure, on your kids' education, on your own toys? What professional breakthroughs would you like to make? What kind of impact do you really want to have? Then take a minute to give a timeline to every goal, just as you did before. Now the third category of your goals, your toys and adventure goals. Once again, on a new sheet of paper, spend at least 5 minutes brainstorming about what you'd like to build or create or purchase. What would be sheer fun and enjoyment for you? Would you like to own a castle, a beach house, a helicopter, a music studio, an art collection, a private zoo, a treehouse? Write down places you'd like to go, events you'd like to attend, things you'd like to do, star in a Broadway play, race camels between the pyramids, go one-on-one with Michael Jordan and beat him, sail a yacht around the Greek islands, meditate in a Buddhist monastery, scuba dive in Fiji. Again, let your imagination go free. Give yourself whatever you want in this list. Don't make anything wrong. Then follow up steps 2 and 3. Take 1 minute and put a timeline on each one of these goals, a timeline in which you'll achieve it within, and then pick the number 1 1-year goal and write a paragraph giving all the compelling, irresistible reasons why you want to achieve this goal within a year. Finally, create your contribution goals. They can be the most inspiring, compelling goals of all, because this is really your opportunity to leave your mark, to create a legacy that makes a true difference in people's lives. Take at least 5 minutes to brainstorm how you want to contribute. Maybe you want to help build a shelter for the homeless, or adopt a child, or read to the blind, or volunteer for the Peace Corps. Help clean up the oceans, eliminate discrimination, develop a car that runs on garbage, or make a device that finds lost contact lenses. I don't know, but come up with something that would inspire you in the area of contribution. And as before, give each goal a timeline, then select your top 1-year goal and write a paragraph in 2 minutes explaining why you are absolutely committed to achieving this goal within the next year. So now that you've completed this, you should have 4 master 1-year goals that absolutely excite and inspire you. They should be based on sound, compelling reasons that will drive you forward. How would you feel if you'd mastered and attained all 4 of these within 1 year? See, I can't stress enough the importance of developing strong enough reasons to achieve these goals. Having a powerful and irresistible why will provide you with the necessary how. And now here is an assignment that can help you to condition these goals until they're absolutely real and compelling and consistently drive you for the whole year. From now on, this is your assignment. At least twice a day, you must rehearse and emotionally enjoy the experience of achieving each one of your most highly valued goals. Now, every time you do this, you need to create more emotional joy as you see, feel, and hear yourself living your dream. This continuous focus will literally create a neural pathway between where you are and where you want to go. Because of this intense conditioning, you'll find yourself feeling a sense of absolute certainty that you'll achieve your desires. And this certainly will translate into a quality of action that ensures your success. I can tell you, I did this with my life. Years ago, when I had no future, no way to turn things around, I set such huge, impossible goals. But I rehearsed them in such detail that I now live them. The home that I now live in, the Del Mar Castle, literally a castle built in 1925, 10,000 square feet overlooking the ocean. I was living in a 400 square foot bachelor apartment. A year later, I lived, and a year and a half after that, I owned that castle. There was no way I could have done it. But I conditioned myself so vividly. I mean, to the point where I even pictured my office in my home. It was a circular office overlooking the ocean. I'd never seen this castle. It was another part of the country. I want you to know this works. That your absolute confidence in these goals will attract the appropriate coaches and role models, people who can guide you into taking the most effective actions to produce the results you want more quickly. And instead of doing it by the traditional trial and error method, they can help you save time, sometimes decades or more. So don't wait another day. Start this process. Start today. Start right now. Well, at the beginning of this program, I issued a challenge to you. I challenge you to take the skills that you've now learned and use them. I'm repeating that challenge to you now. You've heard my words and you've taken the time to participate in this project with me. Now it's up to you to make it real. Ideas, techniques, skills, these things are only as effective as you make them. And how effective can you really make them? The answer is there are no limits. You can literally change your world if you really are committed to do so. This is your time, your moment, your opportunity to claim your life and make it as you envision it. To make your own dreams come true, your own adventure, your own shining accomplishment real, I challenge you to awaken that giant within you and discover how rich, how truly precious and passionate and fulfilling life can be. I hope someday I have the opportunity to meet you personally and you'll share with me the story of your life's success. Till then, remember to live with passion.
You've been listening to Awaken the Giant Within with Anthony Robbins. Awaken the Giant Within was written by Anthony Robbins and adapted for audio by Jesse Boggs. The recording engineer was Barnaby Bristol. The tape editor was Ted Bonnet. Post-production by Paul Fowley. Production assistance by Beth Silverstein. Quotations were read by Stephanie Rich. Awaken the Giant Within was produced and directed by Linda Ross.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.